Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
If you'll take your scriptures in hand, and we're going to look at Acts 20, verse 35, also Matthew 6, 31, 33, several passages other than that, but those are our texts for today's message. And we're starting a new series this morning. We'll be running for the next 3 weeks called More Blessed. More Blessed. How many of you want more blessings in your life? Amen? All right. Well, you're the right crowd. And this morning's message is titled God First Living. God First Living. If you search Instagram for hashtag blessing, do you know how many responses will return? Over 141 million posts. And those posts are filled with sports cars, new homes, people enjoying their vacation, maybe somebody with their new fiance or some other possession that they just obtained. And while all of those things are good and should be acknowledged with praise and thanksgiving as gifts that are given by our loving Father, it also shows that most people define blessing as receiving or as obtaining something. But Jesus would say that hashtag blessed is actually the opposite. Read with me, if you will, Acts chapter 20, verse 35. The scripture says, "And I have been a constant example," this is Paul speaking, "I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, to be more blessed indicates that we've already been blessed, right? And you're going to receive more blessings. Hallelujah. Jesus teaches us that we will be more blessed when we use the blessings that we have already received to be a blessing to others, to serve others, to give to build up the kingdom of God. So God has blessed us in order for us to be a blessing. And because we believe that it is more blessed to give than to receive, we joyfully and willingly choose to live in a way that we use everything that God has blessed us with to make a difference for the kingdom of God. We use our time, we use our energy, we use our abilities, our talents, and our resources to build up the kingdom of God and to minister to others. And I'm so grateful for all of those in New Life who live generously, constantly giving of their time, of their talents, of their energy, of their finances to make a difference in the world for God's glory. It is because of them that the church is here today. It is because of people graciously giving of their time, their talent, their ability that we are able to have the live stream and have the projection and have the sound system working, because there's all people behind the scene that you don't see. And they are enabled. Enabling the gospel to go all around the world. We have people watching us all around the world. Amen. We get comments from people in Japan. We get comments from people in England, in Jamaica, in Canada, all through the United States. People all around the world watching. And it's because we have people behind the scenes that are giving of their time, of their talents, of their abilities to enable us to live stream. You were blessed this morning. How many of you were blessed this morning by the worship? Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Then it's because of all these people up here who give of their time, of their energy, of their talents in order to lead the body of Christ in worship. Amen? And you would really be grateful to God if you heard me try to lead you in worship. Amen? Because I can't carry a tune in a bucket. So you ought to be really grateful for all these wonderful people up here that lead us in worship every service, amen? Because they're living generously. They have to come out during the week and they have to rehearse. They come early on Sunday mornings and they rehearse and they're living generously, giving of their time and of their energy. And we have people like that all throughout the church, the children's ministry, the rangers, the girls' ministry, the senior ministry, people all around the church that are living generously to be a blessing to others and also to build up the kingdom of God. And we are so grateful for you, because this church cannot do what it does without you. This church is not about me.
Amen.
One person can't do this, amen? It's about all of you taking your place in the kingdom of God and living generously for his glory. So we are so very grateful for you. Now, I know that whenever the church speaks about living generously or generosity, or we speak about the topic of generosity, some people, they may get a little uncomfortable. But if we're going to believe and obey the Bible, then we have to believe and obey all of it, amen? We can't just pick and choose what we like and discard what we don't. God said, if you're careful to obey all these things that I've commanded you in this scripture that we read earlier, remember? So we have to believe and obey all of God's word. So this theme of generous living is a theme that we find prominent throughout scripture. And we need to understand that there's a difference between being generous and giving. There's a difference between being generous and giving. Let me explain it this way. Giving is an act of generosity, but being generous is cultivating a lifestyle, an attitude of generosity. For instance, at Christmas time, many people give to those red Santa bell ringers at the mall, right? Or they hear of the Marines' Toys for Tots drive, and all of a sudden, you know, their heart is touched with compassion. They buy some toys, and they donate it, or they give to a food bank or something like that, because the holidays move people to want to do something kind, to want to give. And it's wonderful that they do, and it's very appreciated. But what about the rest of the year? What about the rest of the year? You see, for the believer, being generous is orienting our whole life around the joy of using the blessings that God has given us to make a difference for his kingdom and to touch the lives of others. Generous living is an outflow or an overflow of blessed living. We recognize that we have been blessed, and so our heart overflows to live generously. Now, we fail to live generously when we fail to recognize how blessed we are. When some heard the topic of our message today, I'm sure that there were probably a few people, none here, maybe at another church, a few people that cringed. Why? Because a lot of people have a not enough mentality. Yet most people listening to this message today, certainly those here and many online, we're residents of the United States, right? We're residents of the United States. Did you know that virtually all Americans are considered wealthy compared to the rest of the world? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're wealthy. But you know what? Most Americans don't feel wealthy. Why? Because we don't compare ourselves to the 70% of the rest of the world. We compare ourselves to the 1% of society, multi-billionaires like Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. We compare ourselves to that 1% and we say, I'm not wealthy. I'm poor. I don't have enough. The Washington Post published an article titled, Most Americans Vastly Underestimate How Rich They Are Compared to the Rest of the World. And it stated that the poor and middle class in the United States are, by global standards, extraordinarily rich. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're extraordinarily rich. In fact, adjusting for the cost of living differences, a typical American earns 10 times the income received by the average person in the world. You are earning 10 times what most people in the world earn. The author asked, do Americans understand this fact? And he responded, in short, no. In fact, depending on which study you read, only about 9 to 10% of the world's population own a car. But 88% of Americans own cars, plural. How many of you own a car? Be honest. And I've seen some of y'all pull up in the parking lot, so I know you own a car. Put your hand up. Don't lie. All right. So if you own a car, you are already in the top 10% of richest people in the world. Amen? And most of us this week drove that luxury car, because it's a luxury since 90% of the world doesn't have one. All right. We drove that luxury car to our favorite eatery where we enjoyed a meal of our choice prepared by someone else. When more than 30% of the world did not even have a meal today. Most all of us, I believe, because I haven't passed by any of you living under the bridge, most of us live in a house with AC and heating. We have electricity. We have all these nice gadgets and appliances and TVs. When 1.2 billion people in the world do not even have access to electricity. We are so much more incredibly blessed than we realize. But did you know that we, the richest people in the world, per capita, only give 2.8% of what we earn? Hallelujah. You see, a not enough mentality keeps us from generous living. The reason that we don't give more is because we feel we can't give more. We have made ourselves financially strapped, and we don't think we can afford to give. Many of us live with a not enough mindset because we were raised with not enough, where money was always tight. But now, even though we are earning more, we still have a not enough mindset because we are consuming more. When our income increases, so does our consumption. Hallelujah. And so not enough actually becomes a cycle. God blesses. We spend more. Then we realize we have more month than money. And we say, oh no, we don't have enough. God help me. God blesses us. And then we spend more and we get in a crisis again. And so many of us live in a way that we often call what? Hand to mouth or paycheck to paycheck. And we find ourselves filled with anxiety over how are we going to pay our bills and how are we going to maintain our lifestyle. And that's how most Americans live. But God wants to help break that cycle so that we can live the more blessed life. Amen? Now, most of you at the beginning with a little prompting said you wanted to live the more blessed life. Amen? So listen up. Gratitude for God's abundant blessing leads to generous living. When we have an abundantly blessed mentality, realizing that we are in the top 10% of the wealthiest people in the world, it should inspire us to live generously. Amen. I am so grateful for my parents who made the sacrifice years ago to move us here to the United States, primarily at that time because my brother was sick with leukemia and he needed treatment, but they had to close their business, sell things in a quick way in order to get my brother up here for treatment. But I'm so grateful because I see the hand of God in that, because we lived in the islands on a very impoverished island with very high crime rates now, and now I'm living such a wonderfully blessed life. I'm not a millionaire, but I am blessed. Amen. I have a house. I drive a car. My bills are paid. I eat every day. Amen. And that means that we are wealthier than most people in the world. So if you cringe whenever we talk about giving, you likely have a not enough mentality and you have not cultivated an attitude of gratitude. In 1 Corinthians 8, Paul tells us about some people who overcame that not enough mentality to live generously. The Corinthians kept saying to Paul and to the ministers that they wanted to give an offering for the people in Jerusalem that were impoverished because of a severe drought. But a year had passed, and as of yet, they had not given anything. So Paul writes to them to encourage them to fulfill what they said by telling them about believers in another church a church in Macedonia. Read with me, if you will. It's actually 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5. The scripture says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian church. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." That sentence sounds like such a contradiction, doesn't it? They're overflowing with joy, yet they're suffering severe trial. They are extremely poor, but they're overflowing with generosity. It sounds like such a contradiction, amen? Verse 3, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people." Translate that in today's language. They were begging Paul and the leaders of the church, "Take an offering, because we want to give." Hallelujah. Any of you who want to come up after the service and say, "Pastor Maria, take another offering because we want to give," I welcome you. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he goes on and it says that they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectation. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. So he's using the church in Macedonia, who out of their extreme poverty and suffering gave this tremendously generous offering, to encourage the Corinthians, who were giving lip service to giving but had not given. And he said, "You know what? You excel in faith. You're really strong people in faith, and you excel in knowledge. But now you also need to put some action. You need to excel in the grace of giving." See, the Macedonian believers, they were going through a time of great trial and, as Paul says, extreme poverty, but they joyfully and willingly pleaded for the privilege to give again and again. They gave not only what they were able, meaning not only what they could figure out in their budget that they could give, but they gave beyond their ability. That's sacrificial giving. So much so that Paul says their generosity exceeded our expectations. How could they give so generously? How could they give so joyfully? Why? Because Paul says they had given themselves first to the Lord. When you give yourself to God, amen, then everything you have is his. Amen. You don't hold anything back. It's a joy to give whatever you have to the Lord. Amen. There's only one person saying amen, amen, but that's okay. My friend, Evangelist Martha Tennyson, says we don't talk much when we're undergoing surgery. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But this is truth. And if we say amen when we're preaching, you know, messages about God blessing us and God healing us and God giving us victory, then we need to say amen, amen, when we preach these messages, yeah, as well, because, yeah, this is just as much God's word. Amen. So they gave themselves first to the Lord. They belonged to the Lord. And because they gave themselves to the Lord, they recognized that everything they had came from him and it belonged to him. And because they had given themselves to the Lord, they trusted God to take care of them. They trusted God to provide for them. So God, you've blessed me. If I give, you're going to keep blessing me and you're going to keep providing for me. That's what faith is all about. So even though they were in financial hardship, the church in Jerusalem was in even greater need because of the severe drought. And so the Macedonians realized, wow, even though we're in extreme poverty and we're going through all of this terrible suffering, we're in much better shape than those people in Jerusalem. Just like we realized, we're in much better shape than the majority of the world. Amen. We're rich compared to the rest of the world. They were realizing, even though we're going through hardship and we're going through extreme poverty, there's some people off worse than us. And we can give to help them. So Paul says to the Corinthians, look at the Macedonians, how they gave willfully, how they gave joyously, how they gave generously. And you've kept saying, you want to give, you want to give, you want to give. A whole year has passed and you haven't given anything. Maybe you're thinking you can't afford it. But if the Macedonians, in their extreme poverty, could give so generously, it's now time for you Corinthians to put some action to your words. Hallelujah. Read with me, if you will, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8, because this story continues. Paul says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whosoever sows generously will also reap generously. You know, sometimes as Christians, we see God blessing somebody else abundantly, and we're like, oh God, how come you're blessing them so much and you're not blessing me like that? Well, this is one thing to check, amen? How much have we been sowing into the kingdom of God? With our giving, with our prayers, with our service, with our time, with our worship. Because when we sow generously into the kingdom of God, his blessings come back to us generously. Amen? But if we sow meagerly, then we get a meager return. Verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He'll take it from people who find it a burden. He'll still take your giving, amen? But he loves those who give cheerfully. So if you don't like giving, go ahead and give. God will receive it. But he wants your heart to change, amen? He wants you to be a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly. See, when you give, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. See that? God will bless you abundantly at all times, in all circumstances, so that you will have all that you need so that you can abound in giving. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. So instead of a cycle of not enough, when we live in this way, we will live in a cycle of more than enough. We will live in a cycle of God's abundant blessing. Hallelujah. Think of it like a faucet. If you turn the handle of the faucet slightly, only a little trickle will flow. Amen? But if you open the faucet fully, then the water is just going to gush forth. That's how our giving is. If we open it just a little, we get a little blessing. But if we go full force, giving of our time, our energy, our service, our resources, guess what? God opens up his faucet full bore, and it pours out into our life abundantly. Amen? I don't think y'all are so convinced, because I just heard that's the kind of sermon where you can say amen, or you can say, oh me. Oh me, I'm in trouble. But see, we determine the amount of our blessing by the level of our giving. That's what God is saying. You give sparingly, you'll be blessed sparingly. You give generously, you will be blessed generously. God is saying you determine the level of your blessing. This is an offering that was being given over and above the tithe that Paul is speaking about with the Macedonian church and encouraging the Corinthians to participate in. Because the tithe belongs to the Lord. There's no question about that. And isn't it wonderful the way God has devised things? Because tithe is equal for everybody. If you earn $100, then you pay 10. You earn $1,000, then you pay 100. So it's equal for everybody, right? And only God could devise such a wonderful system so that everybody could participate and everybody could obey. But the tithe belongs to the Lord. The offering is what we give above the tithe. That's why Paul said, give what you have determined in your heart. That's your choice. The tithe, God set that. The offering, we respond to God's prompting and we choose and determine what we will give. That's the amount that we decide over and above our tithe. When we give generously, God will bless us abundantly, so that in all things, at all times. I love that right there. In all things, at all times. That means that even in the time of trouble, even in the time of an economic downturn, even in the time of record inflation, even in the time of personal crisis, even in the time of emergency, hallelujah to the name of the Lord, God will bless us abundantly. He says you will have all that you need so that you will be able to abound in every good deed, one of which is giving. This passage echoes the truth of Jesus' words. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Because the more we give, it opens up more space for God to bless us. Amen. when we recognize God's blessing in our life, we give generously and we live generously, and he blesses us even more abundantly. Let's keep reading in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 and 11. Now he who supplies, that's God, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. What's Paul saying? He's saying, you know what? Even the seed that the farmer sows comes from God. So the farmer can't claim any credit for the harvest, right? Because he depended on God even for the seed. And he depends on God for the right amount of sun, the right amount of rain. He depends on God for everything for that harvest to come. So he said, even the seed the farmer sows comes from God. He said, well, that's all well and good, but, you know, I'm not a farmer. I'm a nurse, or I'm a professor, or I'm a teacher, or whatever. Yeah, but even the intellect that you have to do that job came from God. The strength in your body that you have to go to work every day, guess where that came? It came from God. Amen. We're nothing without him. In him we live and move and have our being. We are completely dependent on him for everything. So he says, even the seed the farmer sows comes from God. But when he sows that seed, he releases it, right? And God blesses him with a harvest when he lets go of that seed. And the return, the harvest, is always larger than the seed planted, right? Because say you plant one seed of corn, and up grows a corn stalk, and it has two or three ears of corn on it, and each one of those ears of corn has, I don't know, hundreds of kernels of corn, right? So the harvest is always more than the seed. So when we take the little that we have, maybe that just one seed, that little, if we hold on to it, all we have is the one seed. Can't do much with that. But if we let go of it, hallelujah, God is going to multiply it back to us. Praise God. When we give, we are sowing in faith. And God will multiply what we give so that we will always have enough, and we will have more than enough to be able to keep giving. Not more than enough to increase our lifestyle. I mean, even though there are things that God wants to bless you with, but don't take everything God blesses you with, because every time money comes into your hands, a bigger TV, a nicer car. We got to keep sowing back into the kingdom of God. Amen. And yes, God will prosper you, and you can have nice things as long as you keep God first and you keep his kingdom first. Amen. But God's mathematics are so different than ours, because many people think of giving as subtraction. They think when they give, they'll have less. But God thinks of giving as multiplication. When we give, God says he'll multiply his blessings back to us. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. That excites me, because I've proven him and he's done it in my life. So we sow in faith, releasing that little seed every time we give. And when God blesses us, our faith grows more. So we want to give more, because we're like, wow, God, I saw you do it last time, so I'm going to give some more. Hallelujah. And a new cycle is created. The cycle of not enough is broken, and we start walking in a cycle of more than enough, the abundant blessings of God. Hallelujah. Now, the second principle I want us to see is that God first living leads to abundant blessing. God first living is not preoccupied with getting, but responds to God's giving. Responds to God's giving. Matthew 6, 31 through 33, the words of Jesus. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. The pagans have a gimme mentality. They have a, I gotta get, I gotta cling. All right? He says, the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows that you need clothes. He knows that you need food. He knows that you need a house. He knows everything that you need. But seek first, don't run after those things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. Hallelujah. You see, the ungodly, those that don't know God, they worry about getting. They say, my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you give me. You know, that's their mentality. All right? They're running after all these things. They're constantly worried about having enough. They're constantly worried about getting more because they don't know our gracious Heavenly Father. Amen? But as believers, we trust His love for us. We trust that He knows what we have need of and that if we'll seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He will bless us with all of these things as well. I like that as well because it means there's other blessings coming to us. But He's also going to meet our tangible needs. So seek Him first. There'll be all these other blessings. And He will meet our tangible needs, our material needs as well. Amen. When you trust God and seek Him first, you never need to have a not enough mentality. So you can live generously. Because you know the more you give, the more He's going to give back. Amen. God first living is learned and expressed through tithing. Deuteronomy 14:23, the latter part of the verse, I'm reading it from the Living Bible. It says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. Tithing is not just about money. It's about prioritizing God in our lives. Amen. And when you put God first, He says that He will bless you abundantly. And this is a promise that God gives us again in Malachi 3:10 when He says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. The storehouse is the place where you're fed. It's not some ministry online or some ministry. It's the place where you're fed and where you're ministered to. Amen. So bring all the tithe into the storehouse so that there will be food enough in my temple. If you do, I will open up the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Now, the word tithe comes from a Hebrew word that means one-tenth. So the Bible teaches us that one-tenth of all that we receive, we are to give back to God in worship. It belongs to Him. Some may ask, well, in that Old Testament, we're no longer on the law, under the law, are we? But you know what? Abraham tithed hundreds of years before the law was given. So the tithe is a timeless principle, not confined to the era of Old Testament law. And in the New Testament, on two occasions, Jesus said this, you should tithe. Jesus said it. You should tithe. But don't forget the more important matters of the law, the things that are more important to God. So Jesus was affirming, we need to keep tithing, even in the New Testament. It's a good thing to do. So God blesses us and we worship Him by giving the tithe, the first part of our increase. You know what? Uncle Sam takes his part first, doesn't he? You don't even get to see it. It doesn't even get to pass through your hand. By the time you get your paycheck, you see all these deductions, right? Because Uncle Sam don't play. He getting his part first, right? Well, you know what? Uncle Sam didn't give you life. Uncle Sam doesn't wake you up every morning and breathe into you the breath of life. Uncle Sam doesn't heal you when you are sick. Amen. He doesn't answer you when you cry out in pain and in sorrow. How much more does that God deserve the first part? Amen. Before Uncle Sam gets his. Amen. Before Uncle Sam gets his. So we take the 10%, not after Uncle Sam got his part. We take the 10% after over the whole amount that we got blessed with. Yes. Hallelujah. You got to love me anyhow. I'm preaching the word to you. And if you want to go to heaven, you got to love me. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you the truth because it's God's word. And I want you to live the blessed life God wants you to live. But we can only experience those blessings when we do what God tells us to do. Amen. He says, if you're careful to keep all of my commandments, that's why I'm teaching you this principle. So God blesses us as we worship Him by giving the tithe to Him, the first part of our increase. And you might be thinking, Pastor, to do that, I'd have to rearrange my whole budget and change my life. Yes. Rearranging your whole budget means putting God first. Whenever we put something first in our life, we got to rearrange everything else to make it first. Amen. If you're going to make exercise first in your life, I see some people over here at the gym across the street. You can drive by 6:30 in the morning, parking lot's full. You know what? Exercise is important to them, so they rearrange their whole schedule. Whenever we're going to make something important, wherever we're going to put something first in our life, we got to rearrange everything else to make space for that. Amen. And if we're going to seek God first, yes, we've got to rearrange everything else. But that's faith. I'm going to put God first. It takes faith to choose to put God first and to give the first part of our increase. It doesn't take faith to give the leftovers. Oh, well, God, I'll tip you this week because I've got a dollar left over. Here we go. Better be grateful that I gave a whole dollar. I didn't empty out the change purse. Just the dollar, you know. No, we don't tip God with what's left over. We give God the first. We give God the very best, amen? He gets the first part. Tithing recognizes everything we have has come from God and belongs to God. And every time we get our paycheck or any other blessing comes into our life, we are reminded, God, this comes from you. And because of what you have done for me, I worship you. With my tithe and my offering, I'm prioritizing my life around you to put you first. Hallelujah. And God-first living builds our faith. God will not fail. In fact, if you read the King James Version and other literal translations of Malachi 3:10, God says, try me and prove me. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse and try me and prove me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you have not room enough. That's the only time God tells us to test him. In fact, elsewhere, we're told not to test God. This is the only time God says, test me. Give your tithe and test me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you have not room enough to receive. When you begin to tithe, you will see the faithfulness of God. I've seen God so faithful in my life. In Bible college, I saw, because I didn't have money to go to Bible college, I saw money come in, I mean, just from all over. Sometimes I'd go to my mailbox at school and there would be money there and it was just in time to pay a bill. I remember as a young person, I had just gotten out of Bible college. I was working in full-time ministry at a church in Miami, earning $50 a week because I was a woman. Because anybody else who had just been youth pastor there had gotten a full-time salary. I was youth pastor in addition to being young adult pastor, children's pastor, evangelism director, drama director, and outreach coordinator. And I was getting $50 a week. And I was told by someone in the know it was because I was a woman. And that's okay, because I knew God had me there. And God will always bless you. Because I was faithful there for 6.5 years. And you know what? There was a change in leadership there. And it was that church that sowed seed to open this church. Because God blessed my faithfulness. Amen? God will be a debtor to no man. When you obey the Lord, when you're faithful to him, God is going to turn around and he's going to bless you. But I remember shortly after getting out of Bible college, I was driving a little Hyundai Excel. That's when these South Korean cars had first come to the United States. Y'all remember the Excel? Amen. So I was driving this little bitty Excel, and I was having some problems, and I took it in, and the mechanic told me there was a problem with the back axle. It was going to cost me $367, which I did not have, because I was working $50 a week at the church, which was a full-time, sometimes 50 hours a week down there, and I was working a part-time job at a bank to make ends meet. So I didn't have the money for this. Now, I went to church, and I'm not the kind of person that goes around telling you, oh, I can't pay my bills this week, because you know what? I'm not trusting you. I'm trusting him. So I went to church. I gave my tithe as I always did. And I said, Lord, I'm trusting you to meet my need. No one knew I was having a problem with my car. But after service, a guy, a Jamaican young man who was in my young adults group, came up to me in the parking lot. And I'll translate for you afterward. But he said, listen, man, I want you to know you're my pastor.
Go ahead, Pastor.
And I want you to know that I'm a mechanic for Toyota. And if you ever have a problem with your car, you'll bring it to me. I'll fix it for you for free.
Go ahead.
If you didn't understand that, that's my version of patois. But if you didn't understand that, he came to me after the service, said, you're my pastor, and I want you to know that I'm a mechanic for Toyota. And if you ever have a problem with your car, I'll fix it for free. Now, I'm not the kind of person to take advantage of anybody, but I knew that day that God had sent him to me. So I bought the part. He took my car, and a day later, he had replaced the part.
Amen.
And the part was $60.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Through giving, in those ways, I have learned to trust God. I have learned that God will be a debtor to no man. God is faithful. Give and he will give back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. But you got to let go of it first in faith in order to receive what God wants you to give. And I could tell you story after story, but we don't have time. But you cannot outgive God. And giving breaks that cycle of not enough. And you begin to walk in the cycle of more than enough. Amen? The cycle of more blessed. When you start tithing, you will discover that 90% with God's blessing goes much further than 100% on your own. God blesses God-first living. But the first step to living a God-first life is coming to Jesus in faith and repenting of our sins and giving our lives to him. All of us were sinners, and we were separated from God by our sin. And that's the whole reason that Jesus came from heaven to earth. God was the first and ultimate giver. He not only gave us life way back starting in the garden, but he gave his own son, the very best gift. He gave his own son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us, that through Jesus' sacrifice, our sins could be forgiven, and we could be made right with God, and we could become a son and daughter of God. And if you're here today and you have never repented of your sins, the word repent simply means to make a U-turn. You recognize you're heading in the wrong direction, living life without regard to God and on the way to destruction. And you make a U-turn. You say, forgive me, God. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to live your way. And we ask God to come and live inside of us. So if you have not yet repented of your sins and placed your faith in Jesus as your Savior, or maybe you did it several years ago and you've drifted away, and that you can feel the Lord tugging at your heart this morning to come back, I want to encourage you to pray a simple prayer with me. I'm going to lead you in just a moment. It's not my words, but it's your heart in sincerity. God's going to hear you and do exactly what you ask him to do. So if you want to come to Jesus this morning and receive new life through him, forgiveness and salvation, would you pray this simple prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sin and I turn to you in faith. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin, and I invite you to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I want to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life, and I want to welcome you to the family of God. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you, if you're in-house, to text I prayed to the number on the screen, or online, just type I prayed in the comments. Why? Because we want to send you free of charge a little booklet that will help you to understand the prayer you just prayed and how to keep growing in your newfound faith in Christ. Because that prayer was a beginning, not an ending. It's the beginning of a lifelong relationship with God. And we want to help you to grow. We want to help you to keep learning how to live for God. And so this little booklet is a great first step. So we want to send that to you free of charge. But in order to do that, we have to have your email address. So if you would, if you're in-house, just text I prayed to the number on the screen. Online, type I prayed in the comments. A little later today, you'll get a response message from us with a link. Click on that link, fill in your name and email address on the form that comes up, and we will send this to you free of charge. But in the meantime, we want to encourage everybody that just prayed, along with all believers, to do three things. One, talk to God every day. That's what we call prayer. First, start by thanking God for all the good things in your life, because that remembers that he's the source of every blessing. Amen? So thank him for health, for strength, for your life, for your family, for your job. Thank him for all the good things in your life. And then talk to him about whatever's going on in your life, whatever problems you're having, whatever struggles you may be facing, whatever decisions you're making, and ask his help. At a very basic level, that's prayer. Talk to God every day. He's your father. He loves you, and he wants to hear from you. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. And the way that God talks to us, the number one way he talks to us is through the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, a printed version, you can download the YouVersion app for free on your phone or tablet. That's YouVersion, YOUVersion app on your phone or tablet for free. You can read there as much as you want. There's never a charge. I encourage you to start reading in 1 John. And before you read, just take a moment to ask God, help me to understand what I'm reading. And then just read a few verses. Whatever you do understand, ask God to help you to put it in practice in your life. What you don't understand, tuck it away till the time that you need it. God will help you to understand it. But start reading the Bible every day. It's going to begin to change your life. And then the third thing, get connected to a local Assembly of God church. Of course, if you're here in South Florida, we want to invite you to be a part of our church family. We have a wonderful church family that will pray for you, encourage you, and walk alongside of you. If you're outside of the South Florida area, then find an Assembly of God church near to you and start getting connected. Don't just attend services, but build relationships. Get connected. That's how we grow. But I encourage you to do that. If you will do these three things regularly, you will grow in your faith and in your walk with the Lord. Once again, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. For those of us who are already believers, I want to ask you, are you living generously and are you living a God-first life? God-first living is generous living. It's orienting our whole life around the joy of using the blessings that God has given us to make a difference for His kingdom. And would you commit yourself in response to God's word today to say, God, I want to live a God-first life. I want to be generous with everything you've given me, my time, my strength, my talents, my abilities, and my finances. I want to put you first, and I want to be generous with everything you've blessed me with for the glory of your kingdom and to minister and touch other lives. If you're willing to make that commitment to God this morning, would you stand to your feet and just make your way to the altar? Let's just spend a few moments responding to the word of God this morning, because we don't want to be hearers of the word only. That is of no benefit. We want to be doers of the word. So if you're willing to say, God, I want to live a God-first lifestyle of generous giving, using everything you've blessed me with for your kingdom, to build up your kingdom and to touch lives. As you're at this altar, you speak to God from your own heart and you make that commitment to Him as I pray over us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of these who are responding to your word this morning. I thank you for those at home that are responding to your word this morning. I thank you that they have received this message with an openness of heart and a gladness of spirit. And they're saying, Lord, I will obey. I will practice what I've learned today. I want to put you first in my life because I know that there's no way I can lose if you are first in my life, because you will bless me and you will supply all of my needs. And Father, I want to live generously because I recognize that everything I am and everything I have has come from you, Lord God. And it belongs to you. And I want to use it for your glory. I want to use it that lives can be touched for your honor, Lord God. And so this morning, Lord, as we stand before you, we commit ourselves to God first, generous living, Lord God. So your kingdom can be built up, so that lives can be touched, and so that your abundant blessing will flow upon your people. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.